Good morning. How's everybody this morning?
Good to go.
Aren't you glad for a nice warm place today?
Yay.
Yes, I know that I am too. And so once the preacher talks even more and more, it's going to warm up a whole lot more. Okay, just saying. If you're a guest with us this morning, thank you so much for joining with us for worship today. Hopefully when you came in this morning, you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment and fill that out, drop it in the offering plate when it comes by. That'll be so helpful to us. Or you can just leave it out on the information table out in the foyer, and that also would be helpful to us. Hopefully you also received a bulletin. If all the rest of you got a bulletin, let's open them up and let's take a look at what's going on. Right after our morning service, we are starting Sunday school back up. Yes! And remember, we have Sunday school for kids all the way up through adult. And so I want to encourage you to be able to stay, especially for our adult Sunday school class. It's just like another Bible study. And of course, we can't study the Bible too much, right? And so I hope that if you aren't planning on staying, that maybe you'll change your plans and be able to do that along with us. On Wednesday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. right here at the church, we will have Joy Bible Study. Joy stands for Just Older Youth, but you don't have to be an old person to be able to come. We are studying Bible doctrine or systematic theology. Either one of those titles is appropriate. And we started back before we took our break for the holidays. We started a study on angels. So if you've been wondering, what does the Bible have to say about angels? What about angels? How do we handle believing about angels? Come and we'll try to give you that information and also answer any questions for you. Thursday night is our youth ministry, Wana night. We have, it's Camel night, and that's at 6:25 here at the church. And so there's some other announcements in the bulletin. I just want to draw your attention to some. This week we received some brochures from Shiloh Bible Camp. If you're interested in what happened in 2024, you will be interested in the end of the year recap. And also there are some brochures that has the camp dates for 2025 for the whole year coming up for 2025. Those are both on the table underneath the leadership team pictures out here in the foyer. And if you get one of the updates or you get one of the brochures or you get both and you start looking through it, you might see some people's pictures in there that you know. Now don't get it just for the pictures. Okay, get it for the information that Camp Shiloh has put out. There's lots of other things in the bulletin for you to be able to know. We're also in need of two adult ladies who would like to help in the nursery on a regular monthly rotation, one Sunday enough a month. So if you're interested, please see Andrea, and I think she's probably in the nursery as we're speaking. So wait till after church and maybe find her if that would be something you'd like to be able to help us with. Well, I'm ready to praise. Are you?
Yes.
We have got so much to be thankful for.
Amen.
We have got so much to be able to praise God for. We've got so much to be able to give God glory for. Don't you agree?
Yes.
And I'm ready to do that. Are you?
Yes.
All right, let's go.
Would y'all stand with me for this first song?
Oh, worship the King, all glorious above. Oh, gratefully sing His wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with grace. Oh, tell of His might, oh, sing of His grace, whose robe is the light and canopy space. His chariots of wrath, the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is His path on the wings of the storm. For You alone are the matchless King, to You alone be all majesty. Your glories and wonders what tongue can recite? You breathe in the air, You shine in the light. Oh, measureless might, ineffable love, while angels delight to worship above. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend. For For you alone are the matchless King. To you alone be all majesty. Your glories and wonders what tongue can recite. You breathe in the air. You shine in the light. For you alone are the matchless King. To you alone be your majesty. Your glories and wonders what tongue can recite. You breathe in the air. You shine in the light. You shine in the light. Amen. Go ahead and be seated as we continue this morning. God is good, amen. There is always a reason to praise. It's like waking up this morning to this beautiful sunshine. Just like knowing that Jesus died on the cross for you and for me. There's always a reason to praise. When I'm at my end, you're just getting started. When I hit a wall, you just break through. When I face a mountain, you are the maker, so it's gotta move. When I'm out of faith, you are still faithful. When I'm at my worst, you are still good. In all of my questions, you are the answer. It all points to you. You're the God of the breakthrough. When I'm breaking down, you'll be working a way through. When there's no way out, this one thing I know, you're still on your throne. So whatever I'm feeling, I've still got a reason to praise. Praise, praise. Out of our wrong, you write a story. Out of the cross come rivers of grace. And out of the grave burst a revival no tomb can contain. 'Cause you're the God of the breakthrough. When I'm breaking down, you'll be working a way through. When there's no way out, this one thing I know, you're still on your throne. So whatever I'm feeling, I've still got a reason to praise. Praise, praise, yeah. I've still got a reason to praise. Praise, praise. I've still got a reason to praise. When you come around dry bones, come to life, deserts to paradise, stones just start rolling away. When you come around, my heart starts to beat again, lungs stretch to breathe you in, souls just erupt into praise. When you come around dry bones, come to life, deserts to paradise, stones just start rolling away. When you come around, my heart starts to beat again, lungs stretch to breathe you in, souls just erupt into praise. Yeah, 'cause you're the God of the breakthrough. When I'm breaking down, you'll be working a way through. When there's no way out, this one thing I know, you're still on your throne. So whatever I'm feeling, still got a reason to praise. Praise, praise. I've still got a reason to praise. Praise, praise, yeah. I've still got a reason to praise. Lord, we are here for you this morning. We're here to say that you're worthy of our time, you're worthy of our talent, you're worthy of our treasure, you're worthy of our life, all we have. You're worthy of it all. Lord, we love you. We thank you for being who you are. Thank you for doing what you've done. You're amazing. And you're praiseworthy this morning. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blood, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome pardon, cleanse, relief, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, to be thine, thine alone, Lamb of God, we come to you. Open up the skies of mercy, rain down the cleansing flood, healing waters rise around us, and hear our cries, Lord, let them rise. It's your kindness, Lord, that leads us to repentance. Your favor, Lord, is our desire. It's your beauty, Lord, that makes us stand in silence, and your love, is better than life. We can hear your mercy falling. You are turning our hearts back again. Hear our praises rise to heaven, and draw us near, Lord, meet us here, 'cause it's your kindness, Lord, that leads us to repentance. Your favor, Lord, is our desire. It's your beauty, Lord, that makes us stand in silence. And your love is better than life.
As we sing this next song, we're going to take the offering. So, ushers, if you would get ready to take the offering this morning. It's called The Goodness of God. Is God good?
Yes.
Is he worthy of our praise?
Yes.
Absolutely. All our life, God has been working behind the scenes. And all the future, he will continue to work. God is so good. Why does he even do things that benefit us? Do we deserve anything from him? No, it's his goodness. I love you, Lord. All your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness. Goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Yeah. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God. Here is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender, this is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to. Here is where I lay it down.
is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down. Every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. To do whatever you want to, shake up the ground of all my tradition, break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better, your way is better. Shake up the ground of all my tradition, break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better, and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to, and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to. Here is where I lay it down. You are all I'm chasing now. This is my surrender. This is my surrender.
Lord, as we open your word today, God, help us to make room right here. Lord, to take all the things that we think we know, and be willing to put it all aside to see who you are, and that you would change us from the inside out. We love you, Lord.
Do you have room for him this morning? Have you cleared out your hearts? Have you cleared out your minds? Have you put away all the distractions? Maybe we need to not worry about email for a little while. Or text, or what our plans and activities are for this afternoon and this evening, so that we what? Know that we've made room for him. Have you surrendered? Well, not just the easy things. Have you surrendered all the things? All right, children, come on down. We'll get you ready for children's church. Father, as we come before you in prayer, as we come before you ready to hear your word, Father, help us to be able to know in our hearts and in our minds that we surrender. We surrender those things that could distract us. We surrender those things that could keep us from really hearing what it is that you have for us to be able to learn from your word today. Father, thank you for the praise. Thank you for the opportunity to lift up our voices in song to you. Father, worship isn't just about singing. It's about listening. It's about praying. It's about giving. It's everything that we do and everything that we've done so far in this service. And now our worship is about hearing your word. So, Father, I'm going to pray that we are so surrendered that the only voice that we will hear is the voice of you, our shepherd. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go and have a good time. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 23. We made it. Now, this isn't the closing psalm of our series in praising our way through the Psalms, but some of you have been asking since we started this series of messages, are we going to do Psalm 23? And I kept saying, just wait. Just wait. And last week, somebody said, when are we going to do Psalm 23? And I said, just wait. So guess what? The wait is over. All right, we're going to get to Psalm 23 this morning, and we're going to talk about the shepherd. And you know, it's interesting, as we were singing this last song, not the one about his goodness, but the one about surrender, I was thinking, you know, in order to be good sheep, they had to surrender themselves to the leadership of the shepherd. Whoa. Whoa. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? To be a good sheep, you have to surrender yourself to the leadership of the shepherd. And the Bible tells us that we are sheep, calls us sheep. In fact, it tells us that over 200 times. It calls us sheep. And I think there's a lesson there. And I think the lesson is that sometimes as sheep, we try to go our own way. But the lesson is we need to surrender to the leadership of the shepherd, because the shepherd knows what's best. Well, I think that most everyone has heard of Psalm 23. Anybody in this room, this is the first time you've ever heard of Psalm 23? Didn't think so. So it's a poem like no other, and it has been called the sweetest song ever sung. Abraham Lincoln read it to cure his blues, and President George W. Bush proclaimed it publicly to calm our nation's fears after 9/11. I have read this psalm over and over and over again at funerals and celebration of life services to be able to bring encouragement to the family who's lost a loved one and to the friends who have gathered there to be able to find closure at a time such as that. This psalm is so beloved, and this psalm is so familiar that there's a danger. And the danger is that because it's so familiar, we can miss the truths mentioned in it. And because its setting is in the world of sheep and shepherds, many of us city dwellers can move right past its richness. But it's interesting to know how many times God describes us in his word as sheep. Now, there are two main characters in this psalm. There's the shepherd and his sheep. And as I was doing all of this preparation and all of this study for Psalm 23, and I've studied Psalm 23 in preparation for today's message like I've never studied it before. And I came to one conclusion, and the conclusion is this. It's rare when I give you the conclusion before I give you the message, but I'm going to do that this morning. The conclusion is this. The shepherd is the recipient of our praise. The shepherd is the recipient of our praise. Because there are several things that are mentioned in this psalm that we need to praise the shepherd for. The first one is this. Are you ready? We need to praise the shepherd for his provision. The shepherd provides for us personally because of who he is. Look at the first phrase of verse 1. Hopefully you've found Psalm 23 in your Bibles. Look at the first phrase. The Lord. The Lord. As a sheep, our eyes, our attention, our focus, our praise needs to be towards the shepherd. Not to the other sheep. Not to the other things around us. Not to the circumstances we find ourselves in, but to the shepherd. And this is the name Yahweh. And this was the name first revealed to Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, when Moses said, so if I go to Pharaoh and I go to the Israelites and I tell them that you have given me this mission to be able to do, who do I tell him sent me? And what did God say? I am sent you. I am who I am. Now the Israelites, and I think we've talked about this before, but I think it's important for us to be reminded of it. The Israelites considered this name, Yahweh, to be too holy to be spoken with a human voice. In fact, it was so reverenced that it was only pronounced once a year on the Day of Atonement, and then only by the high priest in the most holy place of the temple where sacrifices for sin was offered. And if the name needed to be written, the scribes would take a bath before writing it, and then they would destroy the pen afterward. Now, while Yahweh is difficult to define, this name refers to the fact that God is who he is. God is who he is. He's the one who causes everything. He's unchanging. The one who inhabits eternity. Eternity past, eternity present, eternity future. And this is the name that David chooses in the beginning of Psalm 23 to identify the shepherd. The great I am, David says, is my shepherd. In other words, he is other than us, and yet he is ours. He is powerful and he is personal. He is majestic and he is mine. He is a consuming fire, and yet he is my sensitive shepherd. There's a really beautiful picture in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11 of the shepherd. It says, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with the young. David here and Isaiah are trying to get us to be able to see that because the Lord is our shepherd, he cares for us. He cares for us. And there are four ways here in verses 1 through 3 that his provision is personal. First, his provision brings contentment. Look at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because the Lord is our shepherd, we will not lack anything that is necessary and good for us. Let that settle in for a moment. Because the Lord is our shepherd, we will not lack for anything that is necessary and good for us. A Sunday school teacher asked the class one day, how many of you can quote Psalm 23? Several of the children raised their hands, including a little girl who was only 4 years old. The teacher was surprised that someone so young would know Psalm 23, so she asked her to recite it for the class. The little girl stood up and said, the Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. She had the words mixed up, but she understood the truth perfectly, because Jesus is your shepherd. Everything else is secondary. This opening statement could be said this way: if the Lord is my shepherd, then I shall not want. And if I am in want, then the Lord is not my shepherd. Because God is our shepherd, all of our needs are taken care of. Maybe not our wishes, maybe not our hopes, maybe not our dreams, maybe not our visions, but all of our needs are taken care of. And he knows what we need better than we know ourselves what we need. When someone says, I shall not want, we need to pay attention, because we live in such an age of discontentment. Listen to this poem that I found. It was spring, but it was summer I wanted, the warm days and the great outdoors. It was summer, but it was fall I wanted, the colorful leaves and the cool, dry air. It was fall, but it was winter I wanted. Oh, the beautiful snow and the holiday season. It was winter, but it was spring I wanted. The warmth and the blossoming of nature. I was a child, but it was adulthood I wanted. Freedom and respect. I was 20, but it was 30 I wanted. To be mature and sophisticated. I was middle-aged, but it was 20 I wanted. The youth and the free spirit. I was retired, but it was middle age I wanted. The presence of mind without limitations. Oh, how that rings true. And then my life was over, and I never got what I wanted. Have you ever watched the weather on the local newscast? I think that the anchor men or women that are there beside the meteorologists that are doing the weather, I think they are the most ungrateful people ever, especially in their conversations with the meteorologists. It is so hot. When's it going to cool down? It is so cold. When is it going to warm up? It is so wet. When's it going to dry? It is so dry. When are we going to get some? You ever heard that? It's all the time. And it's like, are you kidding me? But we live in such an age of what? Discontentment. The Lord is my shepherd. The psalm says, I shall not what? Want. Why? Because he meets all of my needs. In a cemetery in England, there's a gravestone with this inscription. She died of want of things. And beside that gravestone is another which reads, he died trying to give them to her. Some of you will get that after lunch. It'll be okay. And what we have in our shepherd is greater than what we do not have in life. What we have in our shepherd is greater than what we do not have in life. And the best way that we can understand that is the song that we sang right before the message, I Surrender. We have to surrender our desires. We have to surrender our dreams. We have to surrender our hopes. We have to surrender our visions and be content with what the shepherd has brought to us. Brings us to the second thing. His provision brings nourishment. Look at verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. The shepherd, notice, makes the sheep lie down. The shepherd makes the sheep lie down. Josephus, a first century Jewish historian, has written that sometimes the shepherd would institute forced rest periods for his sheep, especially for the pregnant ewes and frolicking lambs. The shepherd would take the sheep and fold their legs in such a way that they would become paralyzed for a while and therefore had to lie down to get their much needed rest. Some of you have been made to lie down, maybe because of a health problem, a heartbreak, the death of a loved one, or even maybe the loss of a job. Maybe the shepherd has slowed you down for a reason. And while the shepherd would force his sheep to rest sometimes, the best way to get his flock to rest and relax was to make sure, get this, their needs were met. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Sheep that are lying down in the meadows of the master have nothing to worry about. Yet maybe there are some of you who have come here today and you're filled with anxiety. And then after being fed, the sheep are led to still waters. Why is that? Because sheep by nature are afraid of running water and will refuse to drink unless everything is still and quiet. So the shepherds would often divert water from a rushing river to make a private pool of refreshment. And the shepherd has to lead the sheep to the good water. Because if not, they will stop and drink from the polluted puddles where they could pick up parasites that will ruin their health. Sounds like us. Right? God has provided so much for us, and yet, what do? We often drink from the polluted puddles of the world's philosophies and ideologies that will only harm us spiritually. Here's something else. His provision brings restoration. Because sheep are careless, curious, and cantankerous creatures, and I know, because I spent a little bit of time in my early ministry years ministering in an agricultural community where I would go up on the weekend and I would live on a farm and they had sheep. And sometimes if you left the gate open, the sheep would get out and it was an all-day affair to get all of the sheep back in because they are careless and curious and cantankerous and they often need to be restored. Look at verse 3. He restores my soul. Now, this word restore is a really great word. It means bring back to a former or normal state to make new. Did you know that sheep can get lost faster than any other animal? And this can be serious because they could fall and get hurt, a predator can pounce on them, or they may simply tip over and become cast down. Have you ever heard that word concerning sheep? Cast down. This is a term for a sheep that is lying flat on its back with its feet flailing in the air. Often sheep that are too fat or have too much wool will lie down in a little depression in the ground, and then when their center of gravity changes, they will tip over, and then they're unable to get up. And when a sheep is missing, often the first thought to flash through the shepherd's mind is that one of his sheep may be cast. Buzzards and coyotes know that a cast sheep is easy pickings and a good meal is not far off. And when the shepherd finds the sheep, he rolls it over and lifts it to his feet. He then straddles the sheep, holding it erect, rubbing the limbs to restore circulation while talking to it gently. This is such a great picture of what God does for straying saints. He looks for us when we have wandered away and restores us when we are cast down. So if you're cast down today or you've strayed from God's flock, allow the shepherd to restore you. Here's another thing. His provision brings guidance. Look again at verse 3. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. The word used for paths refers to a well-defined and well-worn trail. This shows us how careless sheep really are, because even when the path is perfectly clear, sheep will stray off of the path. And because the shepherd knows the trails, he can guide them in the best way. God desires to lead us, his sheep, in paths of righteousness. Now, most of us know the correct path we should take, but our selfishness and our sinfulness often lead us astray. And we need the shepherd to guide us in the right way, because like sheep, we often have no sense of direction. And as we surrender to the shepherd, he will lead us in paths of righteousness. Now, why does he do that? Well, David here tells us he does this for the sake of his name. God guides us for his sake, not always necessarily for ours. His reputation is at stake. His character is on display. His name is Yahweh, and he will accomplish his purposes and lead us on the correct paths, because he's that kind of shepherd. Here's the main second point of our message this morning. Praise the shepherd for his protection. Look at verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Did you notice that in verses 1 through 3, the sheep are in the sunshine? In verse 4, the sheep are now in the shadows. This tells us that God not only takes care of us in the delightful times, but he also guides us through the dark seasons of life. And notice also that the pronouns change. In the first half of the psalm, David is extolling the virtues of the shepherd, using he and his as he refers to God. Here in the second half, he speaks to the shepherd directly. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, you prepare, you anoint. When times are tough, God became real to David. When times are tough, God becomes real to us. Is that your experience? God guides us through times of trial and trouble. God's protection is complete, covering every aspect of life from green pastures, even to the shadows of death. And because of that, there's no reason to fear. Now, the picture here is of the shepherd leading his sheep back home in the evening. As they go through the rocky ravine and narrow gorges, long shadows dance across the trail, frightening the flock. The shepherd knows from experience that predators like bears and wolves can take cover in these cliffs as they wait in ambush for some fresh lamb chops. Now, David also could be referring to the approach of autumn, when the sheep are forced to find other fields and get ready for the coming winter. And during this time, the flock is entirely alone with the shepherd and must follow closely to avoid danger. I don't know how many people in all of my years of ministry has they got to reach more maturity. I don't want to say old age, but more maturity. Has said to me, I am closer to God now than I ever have been at any time in my life. It seems like as we get closer and closer to the autumn of our life and the winter of our life, we begin to what? Get closer and closer to the shepherd. But those of you that are young, let me just tell you, the shepherd's there. He wants you to be close to him, even in your younger years. Even though when you don't think you need him as much, you need him just as much as those of us who are in the autumn and the winter of our life. And notice that it says that we walk through the valley. We don't have to stay there. We're just passing through. Isn't that good? We don't have to stay in that valley. We're just passing through. And the shepherd is what? Leading us through that valley. He's not parking us in that valley. He's not making us camp in that valley. He's leading us through that valley. Because in the blackness, there is brightness. In the gloom, there is glory. I want you to also notice the word shadow. Now, in all reality, the shadow of something is more ominous than what it represents. But remember this, when there's a shadow, there's light somewhere. When there's a shadow, there's light somewhere. And because of that, David also writes, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, the rod was a club that hung from the shepherd's belt. It was used for protection. Shepherds had good aim and would throw this club at attacking animals. The staff was like a shepherd's crook. You all have heard that expression, right? Shepherd's crook? That's what a staff is. Okay, it's a slender pole with a little crook on the end. And it could be hooked around the leg of a sheep to pull them away from harm. It was also used to direct the flock and on occasion to discipline the sheep. This tells us that the sheep must rely completely on the shepherd for safety and direction. And we must lean on the Lord for all that we need and find comfort in his power and protection. And when the sheep saw the rod and the staff, they knew that they were protected. Now, I read something in my study about this shepherd's rod, this shepherd's crook. Most of the time, the shepherd would take that slender pole of wood and he would carve images into it. Sometimes they would even decorate it with certain kind of jewels to be able to make it stand out and to be able to make it stand out from every other shepherd's crook. So that when it was time for the shepherd to move the sheep, all he had to do was raise his rod and the shepherd would know. The sheep would know, that's the shepherd I need to follow. Because sometimes in the sheepfold, you would have multiple flocks of sheep. And you would have multiple numbers of shepherds there. And so when the morning came and the sun was shining bright and it was time to move out to the meadows for breakfast and to be able to maybe get some hydration, the shepherd would raise up his rod, his staff. And the people would come, the sheep would come, and they would gather near him, and he would lead his flock. Another shepherd had a different kind of staff, and he would raise his, and his flock would follow him. Isn't that a beautiful picture? And Jesus, his staff, you know what? Looks like a cross. Because that's how we got to be his sheep. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 3? He said, if the Son of Man be lifted up, I will what? Draw everyone to me. And when we come to believe in Jesus as Savior and believe in what it is that he has done for us on that cross, we follow him. We don't follow any other shepherd. We follow him. Now, I want you to keep in mind, I may be a under-shepherd. I'm not the shepherd. Jesus is. I've just been called to be able to lead a flock, a smaller flock, to be able to give guidance, to be able to give protection, to be able to give help, to be able to help them, to be able to have a strong relationship with God. That's what this under shepherd is all about. I have no interest in being the shepherd because he does it far better than I would ever do. And we sang, do you remember we sang that song and it talked about that it's not about religion. Just the other day, I went into a person's room at Riverview Rehab and I introduced myself as Chaplain Sam, and this person immediately, without flinching, said, well, I just want you to know I'm not into religion. And I looked at this person and I said, I just want you to know, neither am I. And this person went, sat back in the chair that they were sitting in. And they said, how can you say that? I said, because I'm more interested in your relationship with God than any religion you could be a part of. And this person just hung their head and said, nobody's ever said that to me before. And I said, that's what I'm all about. What's your relationship with God? And we began to talk because this person began to tell me that their relationship with God isn't as strong as they really desired for it to be. And I said, I can help you with that. I can help you with that. And we began to talk, and we probably talked for about 20 or 25 minutes before those therapists came in to be able to take this person to therapy. But I told this person, we'll talk more. We'll talk more. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? And so when the sheep saw the rod and the staff, they knew that they were protected. They knew they could walk through the dark valleys because the shepherd was with them. In Latin, the word comfort comes from two words, come, which means with, and speaks of company. Fortis is the word for strong. And joining these two thoughts together, we get the idea of strength through companionship. We can be strong in the face of whatever difficulties come our way, because the Lord is our shepherd, and he is leading us through those difficulties. Here's the third point. Praise the shepherd for his providence. Look at verses 5 and 6. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There is no need to fear any problem. The sheep can eat and rest even though there are enemies nearby, because the shepherd is fulfilling his responsibilities. He helps us with our problems by protecting us from those things that can wipe us out. He helps us have unity with others. He comforts us and heals us when we're beat up by the things of life. We are wounded sheep in need of a healing shepherd. What might your wounds be today? And did you notice in these verses that we see God's providence demonstrated in two ways? God gives us more than we need. Our cup overflows. And surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. The shepherd would often carry something to drink and would share it with his sheep when they needed it. And he would be generous because he knew they had to hydrate or they would perish. And another picture of that could be that of dinner host who would serve drinks in cups and would pour until the cup overflowed. This was a common way to tell your guests that they could stay as long as they wanted. But when a cup sat empty, the host was hinting that it was time to leave. I kind of like that, right? And when the host really enjoyed the company of the person, he filled the cup to overflowing. He kept pouring until the liquid ran over the edge of the cup. God's providence of goodness and love will always be there for us. And it's not just filled to the top. It is filled to overflowing. Why? Because God says, I want you. I desire for you to have interaction with me. I want you to praise me. I want you to love me. I want you to be involved in my mission. I want you to take my message to those around you. I want you to stay with me. I'm your shepherd, and I will provide for you everything that you want. Everything that you need. You know, for those of us who believe in Jesus as Savior, we have been given much more than we deserve. When Jesus died on that cross, his grace, his mercy, his love, his compassion, his goodness filled our cups to overflowing as we came to believe in him as Savior. That's his grace. That's his goodness. And we have more than we need right now, and we will have everything we need for all of eternity. That's what David says. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. The sheep are so satisfied with the flock to which they belong and with the ownership of the shepherd that they have no desire to change anything. They want it to go on forever. And because we enjoy the presence of the shepherd and have more than we even need in this life, we are looking forward to spending eternity with the Lord in his house. And in his house, we will praise him forever, enjoying his providence forever. Listen to Psalm 84, verse 4. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. We are going to lift our voices in praise in heaven forever and ever and ever. I'm looking forward to that, aren't you? Because I'll be able to stand with the best singers ever and sing. I won't have to sit in a front row where nobody wants to sit with me because they don't want to hear me sing. Because I'll have a new voice. I'll have a perfect voice. And you know what? So will you. And we will use those voices to praise the shepherd forever and ever and ever. I'm looking forward to that. I hope you are too. So as we close this time in Psalm 23, what is it that I want you to understand? Let me just give you four simple things. Make sure you're part of the shepherd's flock. And the way that you become part of the shepherd's flock is to believe in him as Savior. That you might be sitting there and you might be going, so you mean, Pastor, I don't have to walk in on? No. You mean I don't have to go through classes? No. You mean I don't have to say a prayer? No. You just in the quietness of your heart need to say, I believe in Jesus as Savior. I believe that he went to that cross. He died on that cross to pay for my sin because I couldn't do it myself. And I receive from him the moment that I say I believe in him as Savior, a gift of eternal life, and I'm going to praise him forever and ever and ever. But the Bible tells us over and over again, it's about belief. And when we believe, the moment that we believe in Jesus as Savior, the Bible says we are part of his flock, and he becomes our shepherd. Here's the second thing. Stay close to the shepherd. Stay close to the shepherd. There's a lot of dangers out there. Stay close. Follow the shepherd wherever he leads. Sometimes as sheep, we want to go our own way. Sometimes as sheep, we think we know what's best. Follow the shepherd wherever he leads. And then praise the shepherd whenever possible. And guess what? We're going to start that last one right now. Because the worship team is going to come and they're going to lead us in praise. Praise to who? The shepherd. Father, thank you for giving us a shepherd. Father, thank you for giving us the opportunity to be a part as we believe in Jesus as Savior, to be a part of the shepherd's flock. Father, help us to stay close to the shepherd. Help us to follow the shepherd wherever he leads, not to be tempted, to be able to go out our own way. And then, Father, help us to praise the shepherd whenever possible. Thank you, Father, for being our shepherd. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you all stand for this last song? This was actually a request from Les. And so if you guys ever have songs that you would like to sing, talk to me. See what we can do.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Jesus is my plea. closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, and time for me will be no more, guide me gently, safely o'er to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore, just a closer.